Hey there. Thanks for joining me on this edition of Fit Friends Happy Hour. My name is Katie Hake, and I'm your host. Today, we'll be talking about the benefits of a plant-based diet. What's considered a plant-based diet? Vegan, vegetarian, paleo, what's the difference? And is this something that maybe I should start implementing? If so, why or why not? Pros and cons. My job as a registered dietitian is to bring you the evidence and help you make the best decision for you.
Welcome to Fit Friends Happy Hour with your hosts, Katie Hake and Lauren Wrighton.
Whether it is vegan, vegetarian, keto, paleo, I got a question from a media interview this week to do a comment on the vertical diet. Whatever it is, I think the one thing that we can all agree on is that we should eat more vegetables. Now, I'm not here to tell you how many vegetables you need to eat, when you need to eat them, or even what exactly you need to include in your dietary lifestyle. I simply want to share the benefits and talk about some of the cons of taking a more plant-based approach. This topic was actually suggested by one of our listeners and one of you in our Fit Friends Tribe Facebook group. Remember, you always are welcome. There's a standing invitation for you to join that group. Just head on over to Facebook, search Fit Friends Tribe, and request to join. That's where we talk about the weekly episodes and topics surrounding it. I know last week with our episode about body image and wedding dress shopping, you guys all shared some awesome suggestions for shopping and like Stitch Fix, but apparently Amazon has their own Stitch Fix. Like, lots of good discussion in there, so be sure to check it out. My job as a registered dietitian is to provide evidence-based nutrition and facts to help you make the best decision for you. Whenever I'm educating a client or a group, it's more than about my opinion and what works for me. My goal in my profession and in this field and as dietitians is we give you the science and we break it down so that you can understand and really make the best judgment for you. I think that's what differentiates dietitians from nutritionists out in the field, is that we're not just giving you an opinion or what works for me or what's popular. Like, I'm digging into the research to educate you, to help you make the decision, because at the end of the day, it's your body, it's your decision, and you get to decide what you do with it. So a fun fact, I actually decided to go vegetarian in the first grade for a solid 1 to 2 years. And I vividly remember the two reasons why. Like, these were the deciding factors. Number one, I watched the movie Madeline, apparently. I don't know what happened. There was some sort of animal cruelty or something that happened in that movie that my mom said, apparently, that I just decided, that's it, I'm done, I don't want to eat meat anymore. And the second thing I just could not get over in my first grade head was whenever I ate a sausage link or some sort of processed meat, there was always like a squishy piece, and that just grossed me out. And then I learned more about how meat was processed, and for me, it was more of a humane slash it weirded me out kind of thing. So before we go any further, I do want to make sure that you understand the difference between a vegetarian and a vegan. So a vegan or a vegan lifestyle is no animal products whatsoever. So a vegetarian may consume cheese or dairy or cow's milk or even eggs or even sometimes fish. There's different varieties of vegetarians, but a vegan will not consume any animal products, even something like gelatin that may include animal products. So really looking at the nitty gritty, they may not use leather products. So not just food, but also in their lifestyle. So make sure that you understand the biggest difference between those two as we talk about them today. Now in college, when I was dieting, I for sure would eat a lot more processed type foods, convenience type foods, you know, less veggies. I think I was the expert and probably had tried about every single type of protein bar and shake that was out on the market, because for me, I tried to convince myself that that was the healthiest thing I could do, that it was less about eating more fruits and veggies, but it was, you know, what's the latest bar that I can try? What's the latest supplement that I could take? And it was almost like I was trying to out-supplement my diet. And I was just thinking, well, maybe if I just fill in the gaps from all these other areas, I'm fine. And I just eat what I can when I can. The difference now, and what I've learned in my education and in my experience, is that when you learn to take a more intuitive approach after you can sort through all the weeds and kind of figuring out, you know, all that in your head about how you feel around food, your thoughts and beliefs, and all that awesome work that I do with both one-on-one and my small group clients, is that, you know, you may find that you may actually want to have a salad or broccoli. And in fact, you may crave these types of foods time and time again. And an intuitive approach doesn't mean eat everything all the time. You know, it's actually the opposite. It's learning to figure out what makes your body feel best. And we just know, because hashtag science, that if we eat candy bars all day, we're not going to feel our best and we're probably going to get sick of them. So eventually you learn to build that trust with your body and you learn to understand, what does it need and when does it need it? And of course, fruits and vegetables are a part of that for most people. Before we get into talking about the various benefits and pros and cons of a plant-based approach, I want you just to remember that you do not have to declare that you are vegetarian and you do not have to put a label behind anything that you do. You simply make a decision about what feels good. You learn to find this beautiful sweet spot where you're intentional about what you eat, but it's not coming from a place of stress or anxiety. You learn to take this different approach with nutrition that comes from a little bit more gentle space. It's not as rigid. It's not as dogmatic that it has to be this one way or the highway, but you really start to look at it from the bigger picture. And so wherever you're at on this journey, you know, if you are exploring intuitive eating and trying to figure out what that feels like for you, sometimes when you start the process, it feels like all you're eating is junk, but I want you to just trust yourself that you're going to figure it out and you've got the wisdom. And with time, you're going to be able to tap into that. Today, we are diving into the 2016 position statement of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. In this article, it says, yes, vegan and vegetarian diets, when planned, aka with intention, are, quote, nutritionally adequate. They may provide health benefits for the prevention and treatment of chronic diseases. They're appropriate for all stages of the life cycle, including pregnancy, breastfeeding, infancy, childhood, adolescence, older adults, and even athletes. Plant-based diets are more environmentally sustainable than diets rich in animal products because they use fewer natural resources and they're associated with much less environmental damage. Lastly, vegetarians and vegans are at reduced risk of certain health conditions, including ischemic heart disease, type 2 diabetes, hypertension, certain types of cancer, and more. Low intake of saturated fat and high intakes of vegetables, fruits, whole grains, legumes, soy products, nuts, seeds, all of these are really rich in fiber and phytochemicals, which we're going to talk about later in today's episode. But these are all characteristics of vegetarian and vegan diets that do produce lower total and low density lipoprotein cholesterol. So think the not so good cholesterol, these diets show to decrease those numbers and in turn lead to better serum glucose control. These factors all contribute to reduction of chronic disease. So that is really the position statement that the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics takes on these vegan, vegetarian, or plant-based ways of eating. So let's dive into that a little bit more. Why is this such a hot topic? Why is it that people are asking about it? You know, and why is this term plant-based, or you're seeing all these different plant-based products show up, such as replacing, you know, vegetables for noodles, or, you know, veggie burgers, or this Impossible Burger. I've seen it at all these different restaurants. They even have it at Burger King now. Why is it so popular? Well, according to a nationwide poll in 2016, approximately 3.3% of American adults are vegetarian or vegan, so meaning they never eat any sort of meat, poultry, or fish. And about 46% of vegetarians are vegan. The same poll revealed that 6% of young adults, so ages 18 to 34, are vegetarian or vegan, while only 2% of those 65 years or older are vegetarian. Another statistic that I thought was pretty interesting is that sales of alternative meat products, so think your veggie burgers, your tofu, your fake meat type items, reached 553 million in 2012. And that was, gosh, that was years ago. But over that time since 2010, from 2010 to 2012, there was an 8% increase in 2 years. So I didn't dive deeper into more of the recent research, but I'm going to go ahead and make a guess that the sales of these types of vegetarian and vegan products have only increased, especially with a lot of specialty stores popping up, such as Whole Foods and Trader Joe's and Fresh Thyme And even, you know, your more local grocery stores like Meijer or Kroger, depending where you grocery shop and where you live, it's more common to find a lot of these products. There are more available versus when I was in the first grade. You know, my mom was feeding me broccoli and cheese and veggie lasagna, and like there weren't as many options as there are now. So it's a much more accessible to include a lot more plants into our diet. Another side tip and thing to remember here, when I talk about diet on this podcast, all we're talking about is the way you eat, how you eat, what you eat. It's not an on and off. This is just a snapshot. This is the word that we use to just describe your normal eating pattern. Let's first dive into some of the pros of eating a more plant-based approach. So number one, we can read from that position statement. There's numerous research studies out there. I think we can all agree that eating more vegetables tends to be associated with improved biomarkers. So when I say biomarkers, imagine you're going to the doctor, they're doing some lab draws, they're looking at what's going on inside your body. So things such as improved lipid profile, decreased markers of inflammation. So, you know, we can actually see inflammation in the body through certain lab results, such as C-reactive protein, a reduction in oxidative stress, you know, this protection from atherosclerotic plaque formation. And oxidative stress, here's a little chemistry for you, is really just this imbalance of these free radicals and antioxidants. You're probably really familiar with that term, antioxidants. You've heard that word when we talk about berries and, you know, these quote, certain superfoods. And when people or and marketers are referring to foods as superfoods, a lot of times they're referring to these properties that are in these compounds of foods that fight, you know, free radicals that are fighting off pathogens that tend to lead to infection. So to make it simple for you, this is how I picture it in my head. I imagine like this little broccoli meme. If you're on Instagram, you've seen that little fighting broccoli meme. I imagine like when I eat certain fruits and vegetables, that little broccoli guy is just in my body punching out these bad guys, keeping them away, keeping them out of my body. And then I also imagine like the super carrot with a cape just dusting on my arteries and like keeping my heart clean. So that's how I imagine it. And maybe that helps you kind of picture from a cellular standpoint what's going on when we actually ingest some of those foods. And when we talk about plaque formation, I think about, you know, imagine a tube, right? Or imagine your drain, right? Sometimes over time it can get filled up with glunk and stuff doesn't go through it as well, right? And then you use Drano and that cleans it out and then everything flows through quickly. So think about that same, imagine that. That's kind of what happens in your heart and your arteries, right? Is that we can potentially get buildup of certain things that prevents or makes it harder for blood flow, for nutrients to get delivered. So it kind of disrupts the process and the metabolism that's going on in our bodies. Sorry, my head starts to hurt. If you've ever seen at Costco, they sell these amazing giant, it's basically a Snuggie that you live in. It's like a giant blanket. You could probably fit a couple people in here. Like, it's huge. Well, I'm wearing that. My brother got it for me as a gag gift, and I wear it every single night when it's cold, aka every night, because I'm always freezing, and I'm back in the closet studio, and I just realized my neck is like being compressed and strained by Joey's dress shirt. So don't mind me readjusting over here. Number two benefit to eating more plant-based is a lower risk of cancer, specifically GI or gastrointestinal cancer. There was a meta-analysis of 7 studies reported. I will be sure to link the position statement as well as these studies in the show notes, but a meta-analysis of 7 studies reported vegetarians having an 18% lower overall cancer incidence than non-vegetarians. So I don't know about you, but when it comes to disease and specifically cancer, 18%, while it's not 100, I mean, that's fairly significant in my opinion. Fruits and vegetables have what's called phytochemicals. You may remember me talking about that earlier in the episode. Phytochemicals such as resveratrol, think the compound that's found in grapes or red wine. Lycopene is another one. So that's the chemical compound or antioxidant that gives tomatoes their red color. So phytochemicals are just these different compounds that are found in a lot of fruits and vegetables. So how do they work? Well, similar to what we discussed in point number one, is that these phytochemicals start to interfere with the cellular processes that are involved with the progression of certain cancers. So it can actually prevent or maybe slow down that cancer from rebuilding and spreading throughout the body or progressing to a further stage. You know, it's amazing in the field of nutrition and the medical side of things. My background with nutrition and where I first started my first job actually was in home care and working with a lot of people who did get diagnosed with cancer. And we would put a, well, we didn't put them. I was a tube feeding coach, but the doctors would place G-tubes in them. So basically a tube that went from outside of their body into their stomach as a preventative measure to give them good nutrition when their appetite wasn't as well. Or a lot of my patients had throat, like head and neck cancer. And so maybe their appetite was there, but it was painful. Like they were going through chemo radiation on their neck, which led to sores and like actually made swallowing difficult. So we would put their G-tube in. But where I was going with this is that I find it really fascinating. There's a lot of families that I work with, specifically kids, who have done a lot of research and have read a lot of what, you know, the power of a more plant-based diet. And so they have chosen to put their loved ones on, you know, there's new formulas and different companies coming out with these kind of real food blends or these, you know, fruit and vegetable based nutrition. And we're going to talk about the cons in a little bit about how that can make it tricky, especially if, you know, somebody's not eating by mouth and not eating a variety of foods. But it just goes to show that there is research out there and it does, it can, I shouldn't say it does, right? Because nothing is absolute. It's not 100%, but studies show that there's a lower incidence of cancer. The third benefit to a plant-based diet is the environment. So studies show that vegetarian and vegan ways of living do use fewer natural resources. And some studies even argue that the current worldwide consumption of meat and dairy, the rate at which the world is consuming, is not sustainable. And while it may not impact us in this lifetime, you know, that's definitely something to think about and to consider. How are the decisions that we're making just as humans, what does it look like on a bigger scale and a longer term? What is the legacy that we're living, and what are some of the issues and social concerns that the world after us may be forced to face with? And my last pro that I want to share with you is that eating more plant-based can potentially be more affordable. A lot of people will argue, or I hear this a lot working in the clinical setting, is that eating healthy is too expensive, I can't afford it. But, you know, I would argue the opposite. Joey and I personally don't buy meat every week. And a lot of times I just don't feel like cooking it, or I choose, you know, to eat more plants that week. And it really cuts our grocery bill down depending on what you buy and how much. So another way that we will use a plant-based approach to make our meals more affordable is that we may make, you know, a pasta, for example, with ground turkey, but we're also going to add a lot of veggies to it to almost make that same meal or that same soup or whatever it is stretch a lot further. So we're not consuming just the meat, but we're incorporating a lot more vegetables with it to stretch that meal a little bit further. The position statement also shared this statistic that I thought was super interesting, is that, quote, to produce 1 kilogram, 1 kilogram is about 2.2 pounds, if that works for in your head. To produce 1 kilogram protein from kidney beans requires 18 times less land, 10 times less water, 9 times less fuel, 12 times less fertilizer, and 10 times less pesticide in comparison to producing 1 kilogram protein from beef. So that's pretty wild when you look at just simply switching from a little bit less beef to some kidney beans. So these are some of the benefits. I don't know about you, but I think they're pretty hard to argue with. I think it, you know, they're very clear, kind of cut and dry. Okay, yes, the evidence is there. So let's talk about some of the cons or the nutrients of concern when following a strict vegetarian diet. Some specific nutrients to be concerned about, or just to be cautious of, or meet with a dietitian, or just, you know, look at your diet from a bigger picture, from a greater aerial view, is calcium. So vegetarians are at risk of osteoporosis. The position paper points out that Vegans and vegetarians have similar or even slightly lower bone density levels than omnivores. Now, again, we talked about how much more available a lot of these plant products are. I think it's getting easier and easier for people to incorporate calcium in their diet without using animal products. So, for example, if you were to have a hashtag cup of kale, that gives you about 100 milligrams of calcium, whereas one cup of 1% milk gives you 300. So while yes, you get a lot more from milk, if you were to just increase some of these higher calcium foods, or, you know, there's even different fortified beverages out there with calcium, it's, you just have to be conscious of it, because it's easy to not get enough. But if you're just conscious about incorporating some of these higher calcium foods into your diet, you'll probably be okay. Some other nutrients of concern are iron, protein, vitamin B12, and vitamin D. And that's because a lot of those nutrients are particularly high in some of our animal-based products, such as our meat and our dairy. So if you're excited, you're like, yeah, this sounds great. Okay, I'm feeling a little bit motivated to eat more vegetables. I want you to consider some things. Ask yourself, what season of life are you in? Rather than cleaning out your pantry and cleaning out your freezer and going, that's it, I'm going vegan, is this causing you more stress and anxiety to eat a lot more vegetables? This sounds silly, but don't overcomplicate it. Avoid this all or nothing mindset that in order to follow a plant-based diet, I have to do it 100%, or you have to eat a salad every single meal. Do your best to avoid the all or nothing mindset and maybe just focus on one meal and looking at the bigger picture. You know, maybe it's not even every single meal, or maybe it's not even one meal a day, but what is your eating pattern look like from a greater view, from week to week? How many vegetables are you consuming? And rather than looking at specific numbers, just take inventory and see where it is that you're at. Maybe you just start with Meatless Monday, right? We talked about the benefits of, you know, the kidney beans versus the beef. Maybe you swap out taco night and you replace it with veggies. Maybe some sort of mushroom. There's so many lentils. I made a lentil sloppy joe recently that was surprisingly pretty good. There's so many different recipes out there and easy swaps that you can replace what you would typically use meat for. You can replace it with a plant-based product or food. Another thing to consider is, are you just eating kale chips and bonitos and vegan burritos? Well, then I think you're kind of missing the point. Calling yourself vegan or vegetarian, but just eating a bunch of still processed and packaged foods, you're not getting the full benefit of actually incorporating more fruits and vegetables into your diet. So ask yourself that question, you know, are you eating certain foods or certain snacks, and which can also get expensive? Are you eating them just for the sake of, well, it says it's a vegetable, so it makes me feel better? And I challenge you to take a look and dig a little bit deeper into your relationship with food. Why is it that you're choosing certain foods? And, you know, why is it that it's so difficult for you to make decisions that you do? Chances are you may not be as in tune with your body as you think, and there's some other stuff going on that is making it cloudy and difficult to simply make a decision based on nutrition and feeling alone. Now remember, you do not have to declare that you're a vegetarian or put a label behind this. Simply make the decision about what feels good. Find the sweet spot, keep working. Maybe that means trying a new variety of vegetables and fruits. Maybe that means trying new methods of incorporating them. Don't overcomplicate it. Don't make it a big deal. Like I said, if it's causing you more stress and anxiety, then take a step back, reevaluate, and start small. Thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of Fit Friends Happy Hour. I would love to know your thoughts, and let me know if you would like me to do a follow-up on more ways to eat more veggies, or maybe just some new meal ideas. I personally would rather read something or digest information in a different way, no pun intended. But let me know what other topics or follow-up questions that you have on this. Head on over to our Facebook page, Fit Friends Tribe, to join in on the conversation. Maybe we'll share some recipe ideas. A lot of fun things happening over there.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Fit Friends Happy Hour. If you liked this episode, don't forget to share it with a friend. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at Fit Friends Happy Hour. Talk to you next time.